This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, my name is Sandra Kilpatrick Jordan.
I didn't know that. Kilpatrick. I didn't know that part.
That was my daddy's name, and I'm sticking to it.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I do many things. At the moment, I consider myself a strategic planning and communications consultant, which basically says I help people say what they need to say through any delivery system. You know, audio, video, print, anything.
Yeah.
Written word. It all starts with the written word for me. Always has, always will. And so that's what I do.
That's awesome. We're going to say words here on 5x5.
I know. And I'm not transcribing them. I'll
good. Yeah, good for you. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, about half the people who are on this show I've never met before, about the half the people I'm friends with. I'm friends with you.
We're friends.
And I know you've been in the music business. So.
I've been in the music business. We have that. I am in the music business, in fact.
Maybe that will influence the way we talk about whatever the hell we're going to talk about today.
Let's try that.
It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, our iPad, his name is Frank, sitting right next to me. He's going to dial up five random topics for 5 minutes each. It's going to count down for us. We're going to hear a little bit of music and move on. Everybody ready? Feel good?
Yeah, I was totally ready.
I'm ready. Diggs?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. First topic for this episode's 5x5 is dogs.
Yes.
Dogs. That's D-O-G-S, not D-A-W-G-S.
It's a four-letter word to you, isn't it, Jason?
It certainly is. It's the D word.
It's the D word.
Where are you at with dogs, Sandy? You like them?
I'm having a dog renaissance in my life.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I have returned to dogs. Yep. I am all about the dog. I love the dog. The dog is also the boopster, the doggo, the dog, yeah.
A lot of dog.
A lot of dog, and grand dog in my case.
Diggs, dogs.
Well, wait. I want to unpack dog renaissance. Did you stop by cats at some point? Or?
I did. Oh, okay. I did. I think I was born into the cat kingdom, but and my first dog... family member, we understood each other, but I think I put her through too much living in New York City. She was a skittish dog who ran away. She was a Shih Tzu. She was fantastic. Her name was Mary. Mm. But, you know, it's a sad story, and I'm not going to tell it.
That's
there's
fair.
A dog in my life now named Kayan, and we get each other. You know, he gets me. I throw the toy. He brings it back.
Nice.
That's how it works.
By the way, Shih Tzu is my favorite breed.
Yeah.
Because of the way it sounds.
Right, exactly.
Love that.
Well, because it's like the thing that they do is baked into the name.
That's right. That's right. I've been giggling at that name since I was about, 10? I'd say 10. Yeah. Shih Tzu. Diggs, dogs?
I like dogs. Never owned one. There was a dog. My grandmother had a dog that was quote unquote mine when I would go visit in Ohio, but not really. So...
Did the dog know you?
No, not really.
Got it. Right.
Yeah, because I was there,
there
maybe, got five, six times.
Yeah.
I do love dogs. We talked about cats on a recent episode, and honestly, I'm all four-legged domesticated animals that live in a house, not like
cows.
Yeah, I'll go say hi to a cow, but don't want to live with it.
But will the cow say hi to you?
No.
I can tell you how to get a cow to say hello to you.
Go ahead.
Well, you walk right up to the electric fence and you touch it and it buzzes you on the inside, and then the cow, and then you yell and then the cow looks over and then the cow starts to come over.
Oh, okay. That's a good
You shock yourself to get the cow to come over?
So what if it's not an electric fence? Do you bring a taser with you? Or
just holler at it.
No, it's only done around electric fences.
There's no cow
without, at least in Wisconsin, in rural Wisconsin, where I spent my summer. So.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool.
I'm not a dog guy. That's probably a surprise to
Let's
a lot of
people. Let's
break
it down.
I didn't grow up with them, you know, and I think that people who grow up with dogs, you know, I've lived with people who've had dogs pretty much my whole adult life. And...
You have like dog karma.
Yeah, I'm like drawn to dog people, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something like that. But I just don't, I didn't, because I didn't grow up with it, it was never a part of my life. And so it feels like a lot of effort for not a lot of return on that investment. Mm. So I don't get the inherent, whatever that magic is that people feel when they're around dogs, like whatever that thing is. I don't have that. So there's a lot of work, right, that goes into, there's a lot of work in my opinion, to get back to like just having the dog not disrupt things.
I'm sorry for your experience, actually. Yeah.
I'm sure it's magical.
Have you like looked the dog in the eye?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't.
Are you dominant with the dog?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't hide their feelings about me. I mean, they, you know what I mean? Like they have traditionally wanted to spend time with me. The mm-hmm. dogs in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's just has something to do with, you know, feeding them and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But right. You want to put your own oxygen mask on first before you take care of the dog.
Yeah. And it,
good
now,
life lesson.
Now,
the life lesson.
This whole like dog whisperer thing that's gotten popular, that makes sense. Like dog psychology makes sense mm-hmm. to me because mm-hmm. the one thing that's always been baffling to me is the treating the dog like a little human. Like a perpetual toddler,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm, and that's pretty common in our culture, mm-hmm, right? You dress them up, you put the little shirts on them, you baby talk them. Did you go to my doggy? Did you go to doggy?
It was a boopster.
And it's like, yeah. it's a
get
wolf.
Get your toy, get your toy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, who's a good dog?
I do that.
And I learned that recently, that it's like they're 99% DNA matched with a wolf.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Like right. The only thing that isn't is that they won't, you know, eat your head off. When they're hungry.
True.
You know,
and they might think about it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I just wonder if your karma ran over your dogma.
Ooh.
Maybe so.
I wish I made that up.
Maybe I backed backed over the dogma with my karma.
You, for our purposes, you made that up. That was.
Yeah, that's very well done.
That was beautiful.
Well done. And that's all I got. That's all we have on dogs. We're going to move
dogs.
On. Now we're going to move on to. And that's a lot of pets recently. So topic number 2, 5x5 is tennis.
Oh. My
oh. Yeah. That was quite a reaction.
Love tennis.
Monsieur.
Played tennis for quite a long time.
Still?
No, not anymore. I should.
You could.
It's time.
I could. I have. There's a friend I hit with every now and then, mm-hmm. but I much prefer ping pong now, just because it's...
It is an Olympic sport.
Less work. Yeah.
Ping
yes.
pong is an Olympic sport?
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched the Olympics since 1984.
I don't think you watched Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm not a big movie guy either.
Fair enough.
So did you play tennis like competitively? Like, were you yeah. like a champion?
No. I played competitively, but I was not a singular champion.
You realize you could just make anything up right
yeah,
now.
Oh yeah, so, but come on. No, I'll tell the truth. My favorite form of or playing would be doubles. I love doubles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm what's called a net serve volleyer. So I tend to want to be at the net. Is what I was going to say first. Mm-hmm. So essentially, it's. Do you remember like Pete Sampras or now you're looking getting blanks?
I've seen
at least
Pete
I know
Sampras.
The name, but I wouldn't know that aspect
or,
of him.
Or like John McEnroe. Like,
okay.
Like every like early the tennis before like 10 years ago, most of the players tended to 10 years is not fair anymore. It's gotta be 20 years now at this point. Most players, depending on the surface, typically on grass, so like Wimbledon in the UK,
sure.
tended to you hit your serve, get to the net to end the point as quickly as possible. It's just mm-hmm, was like the mm-hmm. the one
sort of
the standard
technique,
tactics.
Right?
Yes, yeah. That's called serve and volley. Now, what almost every tennis player in the world does is called baselining. They will hit the serve and then just stay at the baseline, which is where you hit the serve from, and then it's just a kind of a power and angle contest.
It doesn't sound like you like this new baseline.
I don't.
He doesn't like tennis as much as you don't like dogs.
Well, no. I still love it.
He likes tennis.
Yeah, I don't like.
I don't like the current style of tennis.
Ah,
yeah, that's okay. That's it's just boring to me.
Can you teach tennis?
I've taught kids. I've taught mm-hmm. people younger than me. Mm-hmm. In fact, I did that for a few summers in New York. After I got to a certain level, I would help out with the younger kids.
Like in that Central Park League or the West Side or
no? So we were connected. We would where were we? The Fort Green Junior Tennis Clinic
cool.
or Junior Tennis League. I'll have to look the name up. But out of Fort Green Park in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. But we were all connected to those other, like the Central Park folks and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah. Sandy, you play tennis?
I can play tennis. I would play tennis. I should play tennis.
It's time.
It's. I think it's time.
It's time.
To play tennis. That's why I.
It's time.
That's
why I led basics. You there. Yeah.
You know, because I like it. I really like it. I don't like buying into a club, but I do like going and hitting and. You know, am I any good? Of course not. You know, I'm a lefty and I don't know what
but
that means.
But that's good.
Okay.
That's
I'll
intrinsically
take it.
Good. Since so many tennis players are right-handed, lefties cause us a lot of problems.
A lot of trouble, right.
Because the spin is all opposite. So that's a good starting point.
I got
and
that
I actually,
going for me. Wow.
Well, I actually might not be able to help you very well because you're lefty, but I can try.
I kind of suck. I mean, I've played tennis my whole, you know what I mean? Playground tennis.
Playground tennis.
Yeah. But I've never learned how to do it properly. But I was really into tennis for like 2 years,
when
like
was
watching
this?
It. Mm. I spent the summer of 99 in Ireland. And one of the guys I was with was a big tennis guy. And we would go to the pub every morning and watch Wimbledon, you know, through the late morning and early afternoon. We played in a band, so we would play every night. And so he kind of got me into it. And then I went to the U.S. Open.
That's fun.
Would have been 2000. 2000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the year I was there.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I remember.
I saw you there. Did you see the speeds of those serves? Oh, that's what blew my mind. They
it's
have
unbelievable.
Digital clock. Oh, my God. I can't remember who I saw. I just saw their serve.
Yeah, it was very early in the tour. It was like a couple, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't
when it was like you could
when I could buy a ticket.
Well, right. That's when I was there.
But it was Venus and Serena came out of there. They walked past me.
They
came out of
there.
I watched them play doubles, and then I was standing right outside the court. I didn't know they were, and they came out of the locker room and then just walked right past me, and I was just like, I was kind of in awe. I was kind of blown away.
And then they still had the beads in their hair at this point.
Yeah, very young.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's when I was starting to get into tennis. So this was like in the 99, that Wimbledon, I think, might have been when Ivanisevic won, which I know doesn't mean anything to you, but he was.
Well, I would have watched it. I just
can't would have seen it. He was.
I was drunk. I was at the. Oh,
that's
fair.
Does Tim Henman, does that name ring a bell? Tim Henman was like the perpetual, like, almost winner for British tennis at Wimbledon.
That's right. And obviously it was sort of the end of his career, so I kind of watched him in his non-flashy days.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he still got to number one in 02 or 03. He like had a brief foray of like becoming like... He was always really good.
Yeah, he was always in
the top 10 for a long time.
Yeah.
But,
road trip.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's go. US Open?
Open. I'm down.
Yeah. Road trip to Wimbledon.
Yeah. Even better.
Yeah, gotta get the ferry. Topic number three, today's 5x5. Favorite childhood toy?
Oh, boy.
Favorite childhood
toy? Yes, that's fun.
Toy.
Oh, man.
I know the one I wanted most.
Oh, but didn't get?
I did. I got a couple of them. The Hess truck.
The what?
Oh, the Hess truck.
Yes.
Oh, the Hess truck. Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I can't. Okay.
Tell me about this. Okay, so I don't know that I'd ever even heard of the Hess truck until I lived here, which was after 99 2000. I moved here in late 99.
Fair. Yes
But that would have been when you had your Hess
goodness
truck.
But it was before, because it was always the Hess truck's back and it's better than ever.
But I don't even know I didn't even know, like, someone's talked about the Hess truck at one point and I was like, what are you talking about?
I mean, so this is an old tradition. I don't know when it started, but essentially it's just the gas station.
Yeah, the Hess gas station.
Would have, like, every year would be a new... It used to be a lot of fire trucks, but then they went, like off that train for a while. So, like, one was, like, it was, like, a NASCAR support truck that came with, like, two little, like...
Like NASCAR cars?
Yeah, yeah. What was the... Oh, my Lord. Matchbox cars. That's what I was trying to get. Yeah. 1 year had a space shuttle... It was like a space shuttle carrier.
Sure.
That's one. I had that one, which actually I just found that space shuttle. It still works.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. The Hess truck was just like, what's it going to be this year?
Dude.
Well, I would have put my Polly Pocket in your Hess truck, you know?
Oh,
yeah. And they still make those. They
came
with a little doll this big and she came in a little locket. We're moving into girl zone here, but there was a kissy doll that I really liked. You would squeeze her arms together and she made the kissing noise.
Oh.
They were training us early. That would have been about 5 or 6 when I had a kissy doll.
Wow.
And so the boys on the playground were in big trouble trapped, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
After that Christmas, man.
After that Christmas when we figured out what that was, you know?
So you just, like, ran around and, like, squeezed the boys to...
We did not squeeze their arms. No, we actually would... We externalized it to the game of the monkeys. And the boys were one of four monkeys from the band.
And
we would chase our favorite monkey.
Ah.
But that's not a toy. Oh, actually, maybe those boys were the toys. So sorry.
You went there. You went there.
I did not. It's Friday afternoon. I am so sorry.
It's
back to the house truck.
It's curious. You know what my favorite childhood toy was? I was just thinking about it. It just popped in my head. I had a van. I had the blue...
It's vans.
I know.
Yeah.
This is where it came from.
Doors. Okay. And
it was like, you know, it was the 70s. Mm. And it was a 70s like party van. It was like a surfer van.
Right.
So it was
with
this...
a Ken doll? No.
Well, no, I don't think we had Ken dolls, but
boys didn't play with Ken dolls.
I didn't play with Ken. But I was a Tonka guy.
Okay.
Know? So the second favorite, and maybe the first, maybe tied with the van, was this backhoe.
Yes.
Like a real Tonka metal backhoe that you could, you know, do the thing and it would scoop the dirt.
Yep.
And so my buddy Joe and I, who lived like next door, we had a little alleyway between us, and we would go up there and dig around and whatnot. But this van I got, it was killer. It had a sunroof.
Did it have a big daisy on the side?
Yeah, it was like
or
airbrushed.
Smiley, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I can't remember what. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't remember what was on it. But it was like, I remember it was blue and it was big.
Was it like the Scooby Doo van?
It was sort of like this. I mean, it was in the spirit of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was a van, which is maybe that's why it's my dream car.
It's kind of like dance. Right.
But yeah, I love that. But what's always fascinated me about toys is the waves of, like, you remember the Cabbage Patch doll?
Oh, God, yes.
Like the waves of that toy that the parents end up fighting each other. I always love those stories. Like when Elmo was hot and there would be like fist fights at Walmart.
Man. Yes.
I was working for Sesame Street at that time, and it was a very fascinating moment because we did not see that coming.
Really?
You know, it was a licensed product, as all the products are, and... You know, simple, little giggle, and they couldn't keep them in stock. And you know, we had so much more money for our 501c3 because of that windfall toy.
Wow. That one.
Yeah.
Like, did any other, with your experience with Sesame Street, did any of the other characters ever...
Break through that way?
Like that.
From a licensed product standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, Elmo was...
That was huge.
Elmo is still... Babies are still... saying, Elmo. I just verified that with someone who's not yet two. It's Elmo. But also Grover. Grover was big. I mean, the Count, you know, absolutely. Big Bird. But Elmo...
I mean, that was, mid-90s, late 90s?
That, he was really,
Because I was already an adult when that happened.
I remember coming out. It's not that I wanted one directly, because I thought, I remember playing with it at FAO Schwarz. I'm just like, I don't know if I want this, but it's cool. But then my sister got one, and we're 7 years apart. So then it's either, because she loved when it got to the point where it would shake.
Yeah, when it was like, you had to tickle it, and it went, then it would,
you do it again, and
then it
the
would
third
go crazy.
Time.
Yeah, and wiggle all over the floor.
Oh,
that is so true.
Yeah, it was
Oh, my
nuts.
God.
Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo. Forgot about
tickle
that.
Tickle Me Elmo. I forgot the
that
tickle
was the name.
Me.
Oh,
yeah. Moving on.
Wow.
Topic number four for this episode is 5x5 is the internet.
Ah.
It's a fad.
You can search Tickle Me Elmo on that. I'm joking.
It's a fad.
It's not.
Oh, okay. No Al Gore jokes?
It's a fad. No, it's a fad. Hey, well done.
Thank you.
Haven't thought about that for a long time.
I don't like the internet anymore. I don't want
it. Did you like it at the beginning?
I might have. I can't remember. When was the beginning? Wasn't there always an internet?
There was an internet, I think, since 1969, but the World Wide Web, the user...
The WWW.
The WWW part was early 90s and really became popular around 94, 95. That's when...
I love that you know that.
The AOL stuff really kicked in.
Oh, yes. I had an AOL account.
CompuServe and that sort of thing. That was like 94.
CompuServe.
I remember I was in a band in Nashville, and we were signed to an independent label, but had national distribution. So it was kind of like your... Oh, wow, this might be a thing.
Yeah.
Kind of moment.
Yes.
And I remember meeting with the record label guys and talking about this internet thing.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, we're looking at this internet thing. And I remember me and the guy, it wasn't my band, I was a bass player, and it was the guy who was actually signed was the songwriter. You know, I was his bass player. And I remember walking out of the office, and we looked at each other, and I was just like, why the fuck would we want the internet? Like, what would we do with it?
Yeah,
like,
right. What like, would we do with
what
it?
What would we do with that? Ah, forget it.
I don't think what we did before we got Google to do something with it. You know, Google and all those search engines. Like, what did we do with it? We sent email, right? Yeah. We sent email.
Email was a big part
of it. Instant messages.
Right. The chat roomy instant message thing was a huge part of it. And, you know, Yahoo was, remember, it started as a directory.
Yeah.
And
Yahoo? Yahoo. Well, directory of what?
The internet.
Oh.
So listen, this is how it worked. There were search engines.
This is a chicken and egg question.
There were search engines like WebCrawler and InfoSeek and AltaVista. They were like the Ask Jeeves, but that was a little.
Oh, later?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So this was like the pre-Google search engines that were trying to figure out algorithms. But Yahoo was actually a directory where you submitted your website.
Oh.
So I made my first website in like 1997. Right?
Okay.
And I remember having to go to Yahoo and submit it.
Wow.
Huh.
That really stuck in my head. And I guess I'll have to corroborate that. But it was like a directory. It was more like a... They were trying to do sort of like a Yellow Pages-y kind of thing of websites, and then Google came along and just destroyed all of it.
And because it would just go find your website.
It would just. And InfoSeek and AltaVista and WebCrawler and those tried to do that, but Google just did it better.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting. It was a very interesting thing. And a lot of people did think it was a fad at first, and it wasn't really something that would stick around. I mean...
I could see that.
It was, yeah. When you... were turned onto the internet, like when you were aware of it, were you already high speed, like broadband connected all the time? Or
No. Our first internet connection was dial up. I would wait till mom went to sleep. Which one?
The AOL song. Oh. No, not the AOL, but the dial up. Yeah.
That's facts. That's a fax machine.
No, that was Mindspring, man.
Okay.
That was my 33.1 modem.
Boom.
Oh, I don't
know
what that is.
Oh, that's Skype. Boom, that's Skype. Sorry.
Next we get to Vivo and all of that. I mean, not Vivo. What's this? TiVo.
I think I'm going to make a topic for 5x5 that is internet jingles.
We should.
Oh, yeah.
We should. Sing them all.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, first connection was People PC. Their dial up. Yeah.
I remember People PC.
Yeah. That was because it was, we. Could I don't think the building I was in was in the weird zone of at the time Verizon, or was it Verizon yet? It might have been Bell Atlantic still,
but
or Bell Atlantic and or Verizon and Cablevision were like fighting over the rights, so we were very slow to get broadband. Some folks did do the DirecTV internet thing,
like,
but the satellite, but we never did. We finally we needed dial up, so mom got it, but I would have to wait till she went to sleep to like IM my friends, and then it'd be like 11:45 and she'd stick her head out the door. Robert,
that's right,
I need to make a call. Actually, doesn't sound like that at all, but
so my daughter came to me in the middle of the night for the credit card so that she could get her AOL account. I think that was something that she thought of ahead of time, like let's wait till mom is knocked out.
That groggy.
And groggy. Yeah. And like, what? You need my credit card for what?
What's AOL?
Yeah, I've heard of this AOL thing.
Wait a minute.
What
did you need a credit card for? I don't remember a credit card. I didn't need to pay for...
Oh, well, we did.
Pay for what?
We paid for AOL in the beginning.
Oh, you paid for... I'm sorry. Oh, I see.
I had an AOL account that I paid for.
Not an IM account.
Not the IM account. The actual AOL...
For internet service.
Fair enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have some nostalgia for that period of time where it was like that transition between analog communication and what the internet became after high speed connected all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
seriously.
It was you know what I mean? It was like an analogy to the actual mail. And then it all changed.
And did. Just
You've
like
got
the topic.
Mail.
Speaking of the internet, topic number 5.
Oh.
YouTube. God. YouTube. Did you know YouTube was like 2006?
Okay.
No, it had to be before. No, because I...
Look it up.
Hold on, because I definitely watched it my first year in high school, and that was 05. Because
I will give you late 05. I will say I'm wrong for late 05, but it was no earlier than that.
Fair.
Look it up.
Fair. Now, the only reason I know is because we literally broke the internet rules for my boarding school.
To watch YouTube.
Seriously, because
you're like the ground zero.
We kind of were. Well, it wasn't just that. It was also Beta, that music sharing.
Napster.
No, it wasn't Napster. It was
Kazaa.
No, if you said it, I would know it. It was a peer-to-peer.
Because you weren't saying it.
You had to be on the same network. You had to like accept an invitation, and then you could had access to all the music that person had, and then you could just rip it. The IT folks had to put in an internet system during study hall for first years because we essentially abused the internet.
I mean, those were the days when IT departments were like playing whack-a-mole to try to stop shit. You know what I mean? It was like, I'm at work downloading shit on Napster. I'm just like, give me the Iron Maiden catalog. So what's your experience with you? Do you like YouTube?
I don't have a real... Look, when I remember where I was standing at Sesame Street when we heard that there were going to be 500 channels or 800 television channels more. And everybody went like, how is that possible? And B, who's going to write and produce all that content? Because that's what we were, content producers, right? Well, the answer is the people decided that the people would produce. And it's brilliant. And none of us in the business saw that coming. But now all of my friends in television production are just happily, gainfully employed because there is work. And YouTube is a part of that. And, you know, as a person now who watches the next generations coming up, I do have, as I always did because I'm an educator, concerns about access to content and things like that with younger people. And I, those are the things that worry me. But the field of educational media is trying to stay ahead of it, and YouTube is cooperating with all of that.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, I don't think all the kinks are worked out, but I don't like Fortnite. I don't know if it's on YouTube, but to me it's an equivalent question. It's the internet, what is it called? The, what do you call this? Multiplayer online gaming.
Yeah.
I have to say it three times to understand it. Multiplayer online gaming. I'm not a big fan of that. To me, that is so porous. But somebody will help. Yeah. You know, I could have been in like, what's that? Compliance, you know, for a network. Yeah. I'd be the one going beep. You said what? Beep. You know, like, you know, the good Midwestern girl in me.
Yeah, beeping it out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was a peripheral YouTube fan. You know, I just used it for kind of as a tool. And then about a year ago, I finally bit the bullet and did the whole like get rid of the commercials on YouTube.
Huh. Mm.
Like I pay the $10 a month.
Uh-huh.
There's no more because I just couldn't deal with the commercials anymore. I seriously deleted my Netflix account. I'm just like,
really?
I don't watch a lot of video.
You don't watch films?
I don't really watch movies or anything like that. I did watch a lot of Netflix documentaries. They kind of suck me in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with YouTube, what I've learned is that, like, without the commercials, like
How do you decide what to watch? Are there categories of things?
It really presents, like, you subscribe to channels.
Okay.
And then it presents, you know, you probably would like this kind of stuff. Mm. But I'm watching 15, 20 minutes a day. Like maybe before I go to bed, I might watch one of the late night, you know, comic monologues, you know, that kind of thing.
So like if you're on a TV network and if you were Trevor Noah, you know, your stuff immediately goes into reruns, literally, like little clips of your best
segments,
right?
That's the only way
I
watch those guys.
Yeah, me too.
It's on YouTube.
And that goes to YouTube then? Yeah,
oh, that's on YouTube. I watch those segments.
YouTube kind of is like catching that stuff as it comes off the network.
And because I pay for it, there's no commercials. So
got it.
So it's great.
Interesting.
Diggs, when was it?
It was Valentine's Day 2005.
Damn.
But Google bought it in 2006. So, and also, they have a female CEO, which... I did not know.
I didn't know that either.
There you go. But
I knew it was right around that time. But it wasn't a long time, and that's my point, is that, you know, that's only 15 years that YouTube has been in existence, and it felt like it was around since the beginning of the internet.
Well, there were other...
Yeah.
I feel like people subsume the other video sharing, like, sites into, like, what were the old ones, like Dailymotion and E-Bombs World, but that was more joke-related, like Flash videos and stuff.
I was at work when all that stuff was happening. I missed a lot of that, and it's ironic because people in the educational media world, you know, there was research out there in front trying to stay ahead of it, and that's still the case. But if you're like producing for some format, you know, unless you're going home, like
look,
you're in your tunnel. Yeah.
I worked for an IT company, so I was kind of in front of it.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I miss is the. Like comics and how they would do, like, people would put together videos with just Flash stuff over like the audio of comedians.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
that happened a
lot.
Yeah, it started on
E-Bombs World. There's a great Eddie Izzard one.
Yes.
The one.
Yes.
Oh, God, the cafeteria? Death Star cafeteria?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
No, but we're gonna link to it in the show post.
We'll have to.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Oh, yes. You have to form a queue if you want food. I am the...
Yes. Who are you,
Mr. Stevens?
Oh, yeah, don't spoil it. That's what the show notes are for.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah.
This was a faster 25 minutes in podcasting than the last time we did that.
That's true.
Same. This is the fastest 25 minutes in podcast. Is it not?
Oh, yeah. That was fast.
Now, what do you think?
I'm into it.
Circling back around. Yeah?
I love it. Yeah.
Are you pro? Would you say you're pro?
Yeah, I'm a pro.
Yeah. There we go. You are a pro. Thanks for being on the show.
It was great. Thank you.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.